The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Out of L.A., Dodger Town, passing of Hall of Famer and ambassador to the, of the sport, Tommy Lasorda, ambassador of baseball, Dodger Blue. Meantime, more big market baseball. Are the Mets stealing the Yankee shine? Steinbrenner talking. They need to get under the luxury cap threshold, and LeMahieu's still waiting for a deal. And meantime, Lindor is headed to the Mets. By the way, and the Mets pick up a good pitcher in the deal, too, like a number three starter who is like not just, hey, he's a mid-rotation guy. Carrasco is a nice mid-rotation guy. It means you have a hell of a rotation if he's your mid-rotation guy. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Are the Mets going to challenge the Yankees for New York supremacy this season? Max Kellerman Show presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. That's 888-SAY-ESPN. Tommy Lasorda passes away at the age of 93. And look, on a day like this, normally you lead with NFL wild cards, so there's a lot of stuff to get into, including what's on the line for Tom Brady, for Baker Mayfield, for Ben Roethlisberger, for Lamar Jackson. But very sad news that Lasorda passed at the age of 93. He was, I had Tommy Lasorda on the radio in the past, and in fact, he was such a big personality, and he was getting a little older, but still had that fire, man. When I compared Clayton Kershaw to Sandy Koufax, he jumped all over me. And he was wrong in the regular season, at least. Kershaw's kind of value in the modern game was comparable to Koufax's. Like, guys don't throw 300 innings anymore. But like Koufax, every single year, Kershaw was leading the league in whip and ERA and strikeouts to innings pitched, like, just like Koufax. But, of course, the big difference was Koufax was one of the all-time great postseason players. An ERA under one in the World Series in like 47 or 50-something innings. And Kershaw has not been that, although he's a World Series winner now. Anyway, boy, did Lasorda get on me for that. Yeah, you can't even bring up... Kershaw's a good kid, but you can't even bring up his name with Koufax. He still had that fire. He was a big personality as a Yankees fan growing up. You know, I was used to watch as a little kid. I was used to seeing Lasorda in the opposite dugout. Yankees played him in the World Series and when I was a little kid, 77, 78, again in 81. So like Tommy Lasorda, and baseball has lost its place in the kind of in popular culture, in the popular imagination. You know, it used to be really the number one sport, and obviously it's not anymore. But back then, the most popular or among the most popular characters from baseball was a national celebrity in a way that baseball players and managers are not today. One of five managers, Tommy Lasorda, to win multiple World Series and Manager of the Year awards. But look, so L.A., you want to talk about Tommy Lasorda today? You want to call in reminiscing? Let's do it. New York, you want to talk about whose town it's going to be, Yankees or Mets? Mets making moves and spending money. Cohen, the new owner, showing you he'll spend money. Steinbrenner kind of pulling back. Let's do it. 888-SAY-ESPN. But first, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. We made it through 17 weeks of regular season. I can't believe it. I thought it was an impossibility. I also thought if, 300,000 Americans were going to die of a disease, eventually people might stop playing sports, but that's not the world we were living in recently. But it's as a human being, I'm like, oh, maybe this wasn't a great idea as a sports fan, though. because being a human being and being a sports fan sometimes are at odds with each other. Sometimes it's hard to be a good sports fan and a good person at the same time. But we made it through the NFL season. By the way, it was a pretty good season. Especially, all things considered, it was a really good season. And this wild card weekend, let me ask you something. When was the last time you had this many interesting matchups? Tampa at Washington. Tampa won 11 games. Washington won 9. Tampa's on the road. And it's not just Tampa. These are not your slightly older siblings, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. These are the Tom Brady Tampa Bay Bucs. With AB. Not just Godwin and Evans and everything. With AB also. And a defense. And they're on fire right now, and they're playing a sub-500 team. Could you imagine? By the way, lucky to be in the playoffs if Doug Peterson opts to kick the field goal and doesn't take Jalen Hurts out. Probably playing the Giants right now, which is a matchup I would have preferred. Would have been reminiscent of Super Bowl, the 2007 Super Bowl, when the Giants played him tough last week of the season, Brady and the Patriots, and then came back to beat him in the Super Bowl as underdogs. Imagine Brady seeing that Giants defense coming. Oh, God, having flashbacks. But the Washington football team, by the way, especially against the backdrop of what is going on, what just happened in D.C., is a pretty dramatic setting, at the very least, for a Tom Brady-led team. By the way, who, if, like, what's on the line? Tom Brady gets upset by a sub-500 team in the playoffs. No good. No good, because we're the number one sports debate in the 21st century. The Patriots dynasty started right at the turn of the century and it ended last year. The number one sports debate in the 21st century in American sports is it more Brady or Belichick? Don't let Brady get upset by a 7-9 team week one of the playoffs. I would say Brady's got to at least win this game for the season to be like, okay, it wasn't a failure. And if you want to call it an unqualified success, I think he's got to get to the NFC Championship game. And is that even the most interesting game on the docket? Can the Browns pull off the upset against the Steelers? That was Straight Talk Wireless, by the way. No contract, no compromise.
Browns at Steelers.
Now I can talk about that game. Every word I say is sponsored. You ever see the show, the movie Idiocracy? It's what plants crave. Why do you... No, Brondo, it has electrolytes. Why do you keep saying that? Because I get paid every time I do. Can the Browns pull off the upset versus the Steelers? The Browns facility's been closed since December 30th. And they're not going to have Stefanski. And meanwhile, Baker Mayfield has not thrown a pass since Sunday due to virtual practices as a result of the COVID outbreak with the Browns. Baker, a lot of people are asking, what are you going to do without your head coach, Kevin Stefanski? What are you going to do without Coach Baker?
That line of communication's always been open between the three of us, but obviously there's going to be, you know, a few little different nuances with AVP calling it. But, I mean, Kevin and him are still talking. We're all still having those conversations throughout the week, just like a normal game plan week would go.
I got to say, if you listen to the way Baker Mayfield's dealt with the media this year, you could hear maturity. You know, at one point when people in the national media, and it was Stephen A. going at him at the time, and he was asked about it point blank, he was like, that's their job to talk. My job is to do X, Y, and Z and stay in this. But he gave a mature response. And the thing about Baker is, remember, when Alex Smith was the first overall pick like Baker, right? It looked like he was maybe a bust because he had new OC every year. Baker Mayfield had three different head coaches before he got Stefanski. So in two seasons and one game, he had four different head coaches. It's nuts. And who were those head coaches? Hugh Jackson, the worst coach in the league. Greg Williams, a coach so bad that he made a play call so bad on defense, he probably never works in organized football again after this year. And who was it last year? Freddie Kitchens. And Kitchens was a disaster. A rookie head coach. Right? So those were his guys. Not exactly a who's who. As soon as he got a good coach, Stefanski, who was an excellent coordinator, offensive coordinator with Minnesota, he's balling. The team is balling. But can they do it without him? I'm more concerned about the fact they haven't practiced than Stefanski won't be there calling the plays, actually. Because while it is true that play calling is a big part of what a coach does, preparation is too. And not just that week's preparation. The culture set since the preseason. The way they've gone about their business all year. That team is a team. It's a team. They have an identity. They found it through the year. Run the ball, stop the run. Baker, make enough plays in the moment of truth to take us there. I think they can say... It's funny because Juju Smith-Schuster said they have a couple good players on their team. This is a quote, but at the end of the day, I don't know. The Browns is the Browns. And that's true. Browns is the Browns. By the way, there was a good slugger, but like a platoon hitter in the 70s named Oscar Gamble. Yankees fans will know what I'm talking about. And he has the best quote of all time. asked about Steinbrenner, George Steinbrenner, Oscar Gamble said, people don't think it be like it is, but it do. It's pretty good. It has a logic. What he's saying is, people don't think it be like it is, but it do be like it is. People don't think it be like it is, but it do. And here's the thing. I don't know if it do with the Browns anymore. He's saying it's the same old Browns, Juju Smith-Schuster. It ain't the same old Steelers. That's the problem. Might be the same old Browns. It ain't the same old Steelers. Steelers can't run the ball. Roethlisberger can't throw the ball down the field. Remember the Steelers? They had dudes in the secondary like Troy Polamalu. And I told it to his face, at least on a split screen. Ryan Clark. They had dudes who made you pay a price. Even if it was a completion, you paid a price. Little by little, you started to lose the will to go over the middle, you know, stuff like that, to go across the middle. This is not those Steelers. They have a really good defense, but they don't have dudes in the secondary like Polamalu or Ryan Clark.
The Browns is the Browns.
Browns is the Browns.
The Browns Steelers, is the Browns?
Yeah, Steelers is not the Steelers. That's the problem. And by the way, I don't know if the Browns is still the Browns. The Browns may not still... They won 11 freaking games this year. And by the way, here's the other thing that's crazy. You know how Mason Rudolph brought him back into the game, which they lost last week? This is a rematch of a game not even a week old that the Browns won. These two teams just played and the Browns won. But the fact that it was even close, it's because Mason Rudolph was throwing the ball down the field. It's not what Ben Roethlisberger does anymore. It's not what he does anymore. And Browns didn't have Denzel Ward. Guess who they're going to have this week? Denzel Ward. Meantime, I think the Browns have a shot at that upset. Can Lamar Jackson get revenge and beat the Titans this time around? And more importantly, can he finally win a playoff game? He's 0-2 in the playoffs. Lamar Jackson, at one point, there was a stat. Against all other teams, other than the teams I'm about to tell you, he was 21-1 in 22 starts in his NFL career. 21-1. That's insane. But he was 0-6 in the following games. 21-1 means you're beating some good teams. He beat Seattle. He beat some good teams. It wasn't just a team where he beat some good defenses. It wasn't just, well, teams figured out. Don't let him run the ball. Yeah, Sherlock, you figured that out, huh? Didn't matter what they tried. They couldn't win. 21-1, except 0-1 against Roethlisberger's Steelers. That's the game you have to win if you're the Ravens quarterback. 0-3 against Mahomes and the Chiefs. That's the game you have to win if you want to get out of the AFC. And 0-2 in the playoffs. Obviously, you ain't winning the Super Bowl unless you win a playoff game. But here's the thing about Lamar. I bring this up whenever the subject comes up. Completely lost in the first half of his playoff life. Completely lost. Maybe the worst quarterback I ever saw in the playoffs. In the first half. Second half, already he was a different player. He adapts fast. Already a different player in the second half of that game, but of course they still lost. He still wasn't any good in the second half, but he was much, much better than the first half. Game two of his playoff career, much better. He was not the reason they lost. Now, he wasn't perfect, but his play was good enough. He wasn't as good as he normally is. He was still something less than the normal Lamar Jackson. But he was it was a vast improvement over even the second half of his first playoff game, which was an improvement over the first half. So he's trending in the right direction. Can he beat the Titans? I'll bring this up. The Titans this season beat Lamar Jackson and the Ravens in overtime. Now consider this. How does Lamar win this game? He doesn't have an outside threat, really. He doesn't have like a... He's a spectacular offensive weapon short, right? But what can he do? Can the Ravens play defense? Oh, yes, they can. Can they run the ball? Yes, they can. What can Lamar Jackson do? Lamar Jackson can pull a Tom Brady here. Remember Tom Brady early in his career with the Patriots? What was his real job? Don't screw this up. And make just enough plays under pressure. The defense is going to do its job. Make just enough plays under pressure that you get us in field goal range and have a great field goal kicker come in and save and win the day. Well, who does Lamar Jackson have? Justin Turner. Sorry. What did I just say? Yeah, Justin Turner. The best field goal kicker in the NFL. All Lamar has to do is let that defense and the run game keep this game close and put your kicker in line to win. Did I say Justin Turner? I meant Justin Tucker. I don't mean the third baseman for the Dodgers. I mean the field goal kicker for the Ravens. But give me a break. I don't want to. Oh, is it Justin? You know, how many people on TV and the radio say Russell Wilson when they mean Russell Westbrook and vice versa? Justin Tucker. You just got to get him within, you know, 60 yards, 55 yards. You have a good chance to win. That's what Lamar has to do. Defense in the run game has to keep the game close. And Lamar's got to make enough plays under pressure, which we saw him do against Baker and the Browns, by the way. Remember that game? Comes hobbling out of the locker room on fourth down. Completes a pass for a touchdown. And then after Baker drives him down the field, Lamar drove him right back down the field. And they kicked the field goal to win. Yeah, I think the Ravens have a real good shot to beat the Titans, and I'll go farther than that. I say the Browns are going to beat the Steelers in the upset, and Lamar wins his first playoff game against Tennessee. How do you like that? You like apples? Meantime, Damian Woody, ESPN NFL analyst on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin this morning, seems to agree with me.
Get all this noise from people about, you know, this lack of passing, you know, passing outside of numbers and down the field. Do what you do. You are the most exciting weapon at the quarterback position in this league. Do what you do. And I wouldn't want to see Baltimore come this postseason. I can tell you that.
I agree. I don't think teams want to see Baltimore. You want to see an excellent defensive team with a quarterback who's hard to account for and a field goal kicker who has practically infinite range? Mike, on Long Island, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hi, yeah. Thanks for having me, Max. I'm a big fan. I was just calling to allude to when you were asking before if you ever think the Mets will overtake the Yankees and become the more popular team. I wanted to just bring to your attention to try to compare that to the Lakers and the Clippers relationship. In my opinion, there is nothing the Mets can ever do to overtake the Yankees. I feel like this will always be a Yankee town.
Well, listen, I'm a Yankees fan to the bone, to the core. I'm a Yankees fan. And I know a lot about that team's history. And, you know, I was there for a lot of those great games. I grew up in the bleachers in Yankee Stadium, basically. I could tell you this. In 1986, New York was a Mets town. You can't say temporarily that little brother can't flip the town. I saw it happen. Mets drew more fans. There was more interest. Now, geographically, the Yankees have an advantage because the Mets start in Queens and the kind of fan base goes out to Long Island, but it's a dead end. It's an island. Whereas the Yankees go up, you know, go have not only a big chunk of Manhattan, but they go up into the Bronx and Westchester and Jersey, and they just have more people to root for them. And they're the heritage team who are normally better. But you can't tell me that the Mets haven't flipped the town temporarily in the past. They did it in 86. I'm not asking if it's going to be permanent. It won't be. I'm saying this upcoming season, Steinbrenner doesn't want to spend money. They still haven't given LeMahieu a deal. And Cohen just traded for Lindor. Richard in Manhattan, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Max, in 1964, Mets' first year at Shea Stadium, and the Yankees were the Mets were at Shea Stadium. The Yankees were at Yankee Stadium. Mm-hmm. They won the pennant, went to the World Series. The Yankees, the Mets outdrew the Yankees. So just remember that.
Well, I mean, listen. Also, that was the Mets had inherited at that time 2/3 of the baseball fans in the town because after 57, there's no Giants, no Dodgers. The Mets take the blue from the Dodgers and the orange from the Giants and the pinstripe from the Yankees, and they inherited 2/3 of a city's fans that were like looking to attach themselves to a non-Yankees team. So as soon as the
National League, well, New York City has always been a National League city. Max, as far as Tommy Lasorda, we will never, ever, ever see anything like him again. I think he was a coach and a manager for 40 years total. 40.
Yep.
This guy was a loyal lieutenant.
And he was a player.
To Austin. all those years, third base coach, never said boo, never went to go to another interview, said, I'm going to wait till Mr. Alston retires. He always addressed Walt Alston as Mr. Alston. And he waited till Alston retired, and Alston used to sign one-year contracts every year. And Lasordis came right in without moving a, without missing a beat. The Dodgers maintained their excellence. This guy was the great, not only an ambassador to the game, but such a loyal soldier to the Los Angeles Dodgers and formerly the Brooklyn Dodgers.
Right.
This guy,
well, first
we
of
will
all,
never see anyone like him in any of the four major sports.
Well, I don't know if we will or we won't, but I'll say that from he was on those Brooklyn teams as, you know, briefly. He had a couple coffees with them. He was on those Brooklyn teams in the mid-50s. And as a pitcher, not a very good one, but like he, when people talk about bleeding Dodger blue, that dude was really about it. Lasorda loved the Dodgers. It was his life. He did not want to be associated with anyone else. He wanted to be a Dodger, and franchises every now and then get a guy like that. And especially when it's a heritage franchise, because he played for them in Brooklyn and obviously coached and managed them in LA, went across the country with them. And but always loved them the same, like was really only interested in being a Dodger. You're right. I don't know that you could say you'll never see anything like that, but there are few examples of it, and those characters are especially beloved by the fan base.
Max, the podcast.
This Buffalo Bills team is legit, and it's all because of Josh Allen.
Josh Allen is every bit as good as Patrick Mahomes.
The Bills have the best offense in the league.
Buffalo, they win that game and try and march on.
Phillip Rivers going into this weekend has to have the most pressure on it.
This team is going to prepare like crazy, and we're fired up at the end to play them one at a time and be a heck of a challenge next week.
Did I just hear someone say that Josh Allen is every bit as good as Patrick Mahomes? No, that is the dumbest. No, he is not. And I love Josh Allen. He's great. I think he's an elite quarterback, top five. Patrick Mahomes is top one ever. Like, Mahomes playing at his highest level is the only comparable player I've ever seen is Aaron Rodgers. And if I had to choose, I'd take Mahomes. No, Josh Allen, his arm may be as big as Patrick Mahomes, but I need to see Josh Allen call his own number, drop back 15 steps, and throw a 60-yard pass to win the Super Bowl first, and we'll start comparing them. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. L.A., is McVay going to name the starter eventually or no? We're going to actually come down to game time. Coach, who's going to be under center? We're going to have to see. Like right now, we need to see. You know what's crazy? I think the Rams are better positioned to make a run at the Super Bowl than Seattle. But I think Seattle's going to beat the Rams. In other words, matching up against each other, because Russell Wilson's there and Jared Goff, even if he is, has not played well recently and is hurt, got the thumb, makes me think Seattle has the advantage. But like, if you think about who wins this game, how far can they go? How far would Seattle go without a real defense? Versus how far can the Rams go? Well, we already know the Rams, and this defense is very good. They were more dynamic on offense, but they can still play some offense in the Rams. We've seen them in a Super Bowl with Jared Goff. We know he can do that. 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. Bills Mafia has been waiting a long time for this. Do the Colts have a chance? Here is Casey Joyner, the football scientist, who joined me yesterday here on the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio on why the Colts don't have a chance against the Buffalo Bills.
The Colts, if they have two or more giveaways this year on offense, doesn't matter how many takeaways they get. If they give the ball away two or more times on offense, they're 2-4. They have one or fewer giveaways on offense, they're 9-1. Every time they get two turnovers on offense, they're going to have problems. I think Buffalo's racked up two or more takeaways nine times this year and have done it in five of the past eight games. Plus, the Bills, they're 5-1 in track meets this year, and the Colts are only 3-2. So if I'm looking at those factors, I'm pointing all those towards the Bills winning that contest.
The thing about football that's interesting is one of the many things is that, and by the way, when you look at the literature that comes out of a sport, like the writers who are interested in it and what kind of like thinking is going on about the sport, it once upon a time, baseball and boxing produced by far the best sports literature, best books on sports and writing on sports was about baseball and boxing. They were the most popular sports. Nowadays, like people who think interestingly about sports are really looking at football because it's a very interesting game and the most popular one in this country. And Casey Joyner has an interesting way of looking at the game for sure. I'll say this. One of the interesting things about football is that while each game is its own story, right? There is a cumulative effect on the season. So in other words, a team like the Patriots with Belichick, part of the problem preparing for them is they're a different team every week because he looks at what's this team we're playing, what do we have to do, and he'll change game plans and strategies to address this week, unlike a basketball team, say, or a baseball team, who are basically the same day in and day out. Football teams change week to week, and yet, so in that sense, each game is its own event, independent of the others. And yet, it's sort of like a boxing match in that you have a 16-round regular season fight, and then you got the playoffs. And there, because it's a full-contact physical sport that really relies on teamwork up front so that, for example, offensive lines can tend to play better as the season goes along, as they get used to one another, right? If there's some new players on the line. It's a war of attrition. Who's healthiest and oftentimes, therefore, hottest when it matters most. It's not just that Josh Allen is a star, maybe a superstar, top five quarterback in the NFL, quasi-MVP candidate, right? Or I could say a legitimate MVP candidate, just that Rodgers is going to win it. But he's there. He's in the top five. It's not just that. It's that the Bills' defense is getting hot right at the right time. Giants fans, you know what I'm talking about. When you think about some of those Super Bowl wins, the Giants got hot at the right time. At the end of the fight, in rounds 13, 14, 15, or in this case, you know, 17, 18, 19, right? They were fresher. They were firing on all cylinders. And the Bills look like that to me right now. So do the Bucks. So do the Packers, right? A lot of these teams, you go, oh, that team's hot right now. That's, what was it? Hansel, he's so hot right now. I used to have that on my soundboard, Raj. The Bills are not, it's Josh Allen's better than Phillip Rivers by a lot right now, but also the Bills are peaking at the right time. Andy in California, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
How you doing, Max Kellerman? I just want to make a quick point that with now with Steve Cohen, not only do we have a new owner, but it's a new decade.
You're in California. What are you doing rooting for the Mets?
He's a big Mets fan. He's going to take the Mets to another level with the additions of Lindor,
Andy.
Francisco Carrasco, McCann. We're going to be the team to beat all this decade and for the future.
Andy, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
What are you doing rooting for the Mets in California?
I was born in, actually, in New Jersey, Passaic. And I was born in the 80s.
And why? Hold on. See, everybody? He was born in New Jersey. Most guys in Jersey are Yankees fans. But you were born in the 80s. I'm telling you, this is why I bring it up. The Mets are never going to permanently overtake the Yankees. The Yankees are the greatest team by far in the history of American team sports. They got 27 championships. And almost any era you look at, they got more championships than everybody else in sports, let alone in baseball. Like, pick it up, you know, at any 30-year period. Oh, yeah, they got more championships than everyone. But the point is, a town can be flipped temporarily. It can be. The Mets in 86, like even before 86, and the Yankees had Ricky Henderson and Don Mattingly, and, you know, Ron Guidry was still really good, and they had a squad. Willie Randolph and Dave Winfield, But the Mets were the hotter team, starting like around 84, 85. The Yankees in 85 were really good. Mets were hotter. They had young ascending stars, Gooden and Strawberry, and they traded for Keith Hernandez. And they were the hotter team in New York. New York cared more about them. And it kills me because I was a Yankees fan. And I am a Yankees fan. But it's the truth. So I wonder now, with the Steinbrenners really concerned, with Hal Steinbrenner really concerned with the luxury tax threshold, and on the other hand, Steve Cohen coming in and saying, let's spend money, because the Wilpons didn't spend money for so long. They acted like a small market. They were a small market team. No, let's act like a big market team. They could temporarily flip it. Did someone prove they're the second best NBA team to the Lakers last night? No doubts. Next.
Max, the podcast.
Gonna get right down to it.
We got you covered.
Let me tell you what I think it means.
No doubt.
All right, what do we got? What do we got, Raj?
All right, here we go. Here's the news. Hey, forget stealing the headlines from the Yankees, yo. The Mets are winning the NL East after their big trade for Francisco Lindor.
Nah, son. Nah. The NL East is a beast. It's a beast. I can't sit here and say no doubt yet. Maybe they do it, but I can't sit here and say no doubt yet. Lindor's really good with the glove, and for a guy who's good with the glove and hits you 30 home runs a year, that's a dynamic player to have at the most important defensive position. So maybe. But like every team in that division can win it. I can't just say right now definitively the Mets are going to take the division. Not yet.
All right.
And I like the by the way, everyone's going over the Carrasco pickup. The Carrasco pickup is big. Carrasco is, if he's your number three starter, you have a really good staff. Carrasco's a nice pickup.
You might be number two waiting for Syndergaard to come back.
Right.
He misses with time.
That's true. As a number two starter, he's just fine. As a number three starter, he's quite good. Yeah.
All right, hey, last night by beating the Nuggets in OT, the Dallas Mavericks proved they're second best in the West.
Nah, son. But they might wind up being second best in the West. You know, my two pet teams this year in the Western Conference are the Dallas Mavericks and the Phoenix Suns.
Okay.
Those are the two teams I think, like the Suns did 8-0 in the bubble, 6-2 so far, and they brought in Chris Paul and Jay Crowder. The Mavericks, without Kristaps Porzingis, are not the second best team in the Western Conference, nor will they be. But when Porzingis gets back, I expect them to be. I expect when all is said and done, if they can stay healthy, the Mavericks will eventually be the second best team in the Western Conference.
Okay. All right. Hey, check it out. We know we like to give birthday shout outs. Happy birthday to your guy Elvis Presley and my guy David Bowie.
Why is Presley my guy and Bowie your guy?
I'm just saying, hey, Bowie, you know. Hey, whose catalog are you messing with? You got to choose one, Elvis Presley or David Bowie. Whose catalog are you messing with alone on an island?
David Bowie. I mean, it's more recent. It's more modern music, you know, and music that sounded old when we were kids, you know, from the 50s. Nowadays, you're talking about 80 years ago? It's 70 years ago? 70 years is a long time. And so obviously the more dated catalog, you're less interested in usually when it comes to popular culture. By the way, Elvis, I know, was a hero to most, but he never meant to me.
Go ahead, Chuck D.
But you know what? I mess with Elvis, and I like those movies too. He always wound up in a fight at the end of the movie and won. But
I was telling B, the only memory I have of Elvis is when he was punching fat in some leather in Hawaii for some reason.
No. I think of Elvis like in one of those B movies where he's always knocking somebody out. But but I like David Bowie. I mess with Bowie.
By the way, this is not really a no doubt question. That's not, you didn't ask like.
I know. Sometimes I got it mixed up a little bit. Good. You don't get birthday.
Hold on.
Just
hey,
you know, for all the times you yell at Max, he does it wrong. You didn't ask the question correctly.
That's a good point. Hey, Brendan, who everyone refers to as Bubba, but I call Brendan because Bubba means grandma in Yiddish, and I was very close to my Bubba. So, but I'm guessing that you're going to take, I don't know what makes me think this, but maybe you would take Elvis's catalog over Bowie. Am I right or wrong?
No, I'm gonna take Bowie.
Take Bowie. That's right. Defy that stereotype. And by the way, Raj, how dare you stereotype Bubba that way? I don't like that on this show one bit.
One bit. And last one, real quick. Urban Meyer is the right coach for the Jags. You know, he's talking to him today.
Nah, son. Think about Urban Meyer. is obviously he can coach. Obviously he's very competitive. You think he's going to last a long time and not leave a situation in shambles or at least not bail right before, you know, fit hits the shan? Nah. Mm-hmm. He's going to, you know, like if you're looking in the college ranks for a coach, I'd take Day over Urban Meyer. He said, well, he's winning with those teams. Listen, Tommy Lasorda passed. We're going to talk about it coming up.